What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're looking at 1 Kings 21 and 22 here in the Old Testament. And what we see is the aftermath of Ahab falling into sin. What we see is him falling into even more sin here, where he doesn't really fall into it. He walks straight into it. Here it says that he wants this guy's vineyard, a guy named Naboth. He wants his vineyard because it's close to Ahab's house. And he says, hey, can I buy your land? And Naboth says, no, I can't do that because God gave this portion of land to my family. I can't just give it away. I can't just sell it. I need to keep it in my family because that's what God wants. Ahab gets all mad about that. Jezebel looks at Ahab and says, are you not the king? I'll figure out something to do. And what Jezebel does, she plots this plan to take Naboth out, to slander him, to lie about him, and to get him killed. And that's exactly what happens. And because of this, God is so mad at Ahab for this, because Ahab let this all happen. He let his wife do this. He enjoyed the vineyard. This is what he wanted the whole time. And it says that Elijah goes to Ahab and basically curses him and says, this is unbelievable how sinful you are. I'm going to bring all these curses on you, so much so that the dogs are going to lick up your own blood. Exactly in the same place that Naboth's blood was spilled, dogs are going to lick your blood. And Ahab, it says, gets so upset by this that instead of getting mad and lashing out, he is a little bit repentant. He is feeling terrible about his sin here. And it says that he humbled himself before the Lord, and God said to Elijah, check this out. Look at what he did. See how he humbled himself before me. All the disaster that I'm going to bring on his family, I'm going to wait until after he's dead because of this humility that he's shown me. It's not full scale, whole life repentance, because what we're going to see in chapter 22, you might have been reading and thinking, oh, this is great. Ahab's going to repent. Oh man, I guess he didn't really repent. Well, he didn't really. And it says that he wanted to go to war against the Syrians, and God was actually allowing him to do that so that he would get that punishment. And it says something interesting here. It says that there's these false prophets, and that one of the false prophets is trying to urge Ahab to go to war. God's going to give you victory. It's going to be great. But a guy named Micaiah, he does not lie for God. He's telling the truth. And he says, yeah, you know what? I did hear something from God. And God said that all these false spirits were going to go out and try to deceive Ahab into going to war and making him lose. And Ahab, instead of being warned by that, gets mad at Micaiah. He's struck in the face here. Really interesting. And it says, then after this, we see them go to battle. And actually, they join forces with the south at this point. So it's the kingdom of the north, kingdom of the south. They go to war against the people way up to the north of them. And when they do that, Jehoshaphat from Judah, he's the king of Judah at this point, he puts on the robes. He like pretends to be the king of Israel, but everyone pursues him. And when he is pursued, he throws up his hand and says, I'm not the king of Israel. And once they see that it's not him, these foreign armies, they're like, wait, that's not the kingdom. That's not the king of Israel. That's the king of Judah. Where's the king of Israel? And it says that an archer shot at random. And when they shot, they hit Ahab in the chariot. And because of that, he would end up dying in this battle, even though it was kind of a total accident, total fluke. But it wasn't a fluke for God, because God was using this to bring judgment on Ahab's household. So it says that he dies here. And then we get a description of Jehoshaphat. And this is really the end of the book here, the end of 1 Kings. We're going to look at 2 Kings tomorrow. But we see Jehoshaphat described, and also Ahaziah in the north. He's described too. That's Ahaziah is the name for Ahab's son. And now there's two Ahaziahs, and you might already know that. There's one in Judah, but he comes later. So anyway, these people are described, and it says that they are, one of them, Jehoshaphat, he's doing pretty good things. He's obeying God decently well. It says he's cutting off some of the bad things that were happening in the land that even his father Asa didn't do. So that was good. But he's not like totally committed to God and everything. But also Ahaziah, he is exactly like his mom and dad. He is following all the horrible patterns and practices of Jeroboam and all the foreign gods and all that stuff in the place. So he is not obeying God, but he's being a lot like his dad, Ahab. So that's the end of this book, and what we're going to see, it's going to roll straight over into the next story tomorrow. But one of the big lessons that we learn here from Ahaziah, from especially Ahab, is that God is going to keep his promises of judgment. He will keep his promises. And Ahab, he did not turn wholly to the Lord. And because he didn't do that, because he didn't repent with his whole life, when he just kind of felt bad about his sin for a while, God gave him some blessing in that, but he didn't give him forgiveness for his sins. What we're going to see in the New Testament goes extremely well with that, because there's a guy, a religious teacher named Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus, and he actually wants to know, hey, how should I get right with God? How should I go to God's kingdom? And Jesus said, you need to be born again. That was the solution for Ahab. That was the solution for Nicodemus. And it's also the only solution that we have, is that God remakes us, that we're able to be born again. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a complete heart change. He references some points back in the Old Testament. He talks about Ezekiel 36 here, which actually talks about a heart change. And what Jesus says to Nicodemus is, that's how you get right with me. There needs to be a heart change that happens, which is interesting, because that's something that God has to do, which teaches us a big truth about salvation. Salvation is something that God needs to do to us. When we are saved, we ask God to save us. We can't save ourselves. We can't come to God and earn God's favor. He has to do it for us. And verse 16 to 21 explains a lot more about how that works. It's one of the most famous sections in all the Bible right here. Jesus says to Nicodemus that God loved the world so much that God sent his son, and that was him, that whoever believes in the son, whoever believes in Jesus, will not perish, but he'll have eternal life. And as this section goes further and further, it says that the world was condemned before Jesus came because they were in their sin. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. The world was already condemned in their sin. And it says later that the people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Just like Ahab, just like Jezebel, just like everything we learned in the Old Testament. Those evil people, they loved their evil because they were living in darkness. But Jesus comes to expose that darkness. He comes to bring light to the darkness. And when he does that, if someone comes to the light, brings their sin, confesses it to God, asks for forgiveness, what does God do? God helps them walk in the light. He gives them that forgiveness. It says in verse 21 that whoever does come to the light, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works are carried out in God. And God gets the glory in the end for all of this, which is just that these two passages, Old and New Testament, obviously unintentionally put together by our daily Bible reading plan, but God knows that these two work together really well to show us that we need a complete heart change to be right with God. And if you're a person who has that heart change, that God has changed you and God has saved you, that's something you can rejoice in, that God will, as the book of John says, hold you in his hand. And he'll never let you go because of the good salvation that Jesus brought by giving his life. Just as like we learned before, as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. So thanks for reading with us. Make sure you think about that deeply. Jesus has done so much for you, especially those of you who are born again. Jesus has done everything for you. So thanks for reading. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.